Okay, now let me gather us together around our scripture for today, and it's in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. I'm going to confess to you that I have preached this message before, somewhere back in the years. But I want to share it with you again. And so if you find it marked in your Bible and think that I'm not doing my job, well, I can't help that. But this is what was on my heart this week. And so I want to share this with you again because I can't think of a better way to share it than from a passage such as this. The events of the Middle East, such heart-wrenching things that people are so anxious to escape from the dangers that they're facing, that they cling to airplanes taking off, casting themselves into wheel wells of airplanes and being asphyxiated or frozen to death in the flight. Being that desperate for life, it just pulls at heartstrings. This COVID thing that goes around, and we're so sick of it, all of us are, and we thought maybe this year would be a little bit better, and here we are again. And so with all of that on our plate this day, I wanted to revisit this passage because of this statement, and some of you may remember it. It says, in life, make this your goal. Focus on the donut and not the hole. In life, make this your goal. Focus on the donut and not the hole. A doctor by the name of Colleen Georges wrote this, and I want to preface this by this statement of hers. She was having a struggle with anxiety and all of the stuff of life that was surrounding her, and she was focused on the whole, if you will. And she says this, she says, when all you see is what you don't have, trying to see what you do have is not easy. At night, I try to think of things I was grateful for that day and couldn't come up with much. But I was looking for big things. I had to start looking at the little things. A driver that let me make a left turn. A person that held the door for me. A nice conversation with a stranger. Over time, I saw more and more things I had to be grateful for that I'd taken for granted. Wonderful family and friends, education in a field that I love, an opportunity to help people. How could I have missed all of this when it was always there? Sometimes, folks, that hole is just so big that we really have to look for the donut. We get so close to these trials and the stuff of life that surround us. And the closer we are to something, we all know from beginning art class called perspective, the closer we are to something, the bigger it is. And so the closer to these trials of life that surround and sometimes devastate all of us that we are, the bigger they become. And it almost becomes so much like we're, and I love this, I continue to use this illustration, but it's so fitting. It's almost just like we're in an ocean and we're so far away from shore that we can't see trees. You know, but there's nothing there that gives us hope. So then what do? We just start swimming in hope that eventually we'll see something that will strengthen that hope and give us further incentive and encouragement to continue our swim. That even when our strokes become feeble, even when we think our strength is no longer there. If we see something that encourages that hope, if we begin to see the tops of trees or sand dunes or a village somewhere, and that courage comes and we are strengthened in that, that becomes then our hope. And our pace, our strokes may become stronger, knowing that it's there, we see it. We're going in the right direction. And I want to plant within you this day that in the holes of life, that is where Jesus is known. That is where that hope is. In those holes of life, that is where Jesus is known. And so that can be your thought for today. How do we cope in these times where it just seems like we are just floundering? How do we cope in these times where it seems like suffering and stuff of life is so big that we lose sight of the fact of the grace and love of Christ? This thing of Christian rejoicing and what Paul is writing here, I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that these words were written while he was in prison. More than likely, he was in prison when he wrote this letter to the church in Philippi. And yet he could talk about not being anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and you will find that peace. So how can we be thankful and live in a world in anticipation of the glory of God and the love of God and the grace of God and the hope of God? There was a study done with some young folks. This was in Psychology Today. And this study said, it was done by a couple of American researchers, and they assigned young adults to keep a daily journal of things that they were grateful for. They also assigned other groups to journal about things that annoyed them, and another group for reasons why they were better off than other people around them. So those three groups. What they found is that the young adults assigned to keep gratitude journals, you know, just finding those things you were thankful for, they showed greater increases in determination, attention, enthusiasm, and energy compared to the other groups. Now, what was that saying? It shows a clear benefit of gratitude, the study says, but it also makes a clear distinction. And this is the distinction because I've said it, you've said it, I've heard it said, you've heard it said, well, we've got all of these problems and we're sharing with each other and we're sharing prayer requests, and then we'll say something like, well, you know, you can always look around and find somebody that's worse off than I am. You've said it. I've said it. This is what the study concluded. Realizing that other people are worse off than you is not gratitude. Gratitude requires an appreciation of the positive aspects of your situation. It is not a comparison. So what do we do when we compare ourselves? Well, at least I'm not like poor old down the road. You know, we can always look around and find somebody in worse shape than I am. Well, that is true. But that is not being grateful. That is not showing gratitude. That is not what Paul's talking about, prayer with thanksgiving. As this study showed, if we look, if we put the effort in, like this lady with the Tupperware bowl, if we put the effort in to look for things that we could be thankful for, it gives us energy of life. Not just a stronger faith, but energy of life as well. That we have that determination, we have that enthusiasm, we have that ability then to cope. And really that's what we're looking for. This reasonableness here that Paul talks about, that comes from a realization of our own deep needs of mercy and forgiveness. It's an understanding that without the Lord in our life, there would be no hope. It's an understanding that you and I are all in this sea together, and that we all are in need of God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's encouragement, God's strength, God's hope. We are all in those needs. And it gives us the ability then to be forbearing, as the scripture likes to say, patient with others. Because we know that even in our suffering, we can lend an encouraging word to another because of what we have learned in our suffering, the strength that we have received in our suffering that we'll talk about in just a moment. We can always share that. We can always be available for encouragement to others. We can always be an inspiration to others based upon how we walk through our particular time of suffering. And so as a church, knowing that we are all in this together, that we're all in need of God's grace, all in need of that strength, we understand that we portray this characteristic of gentleness and reasonableness, as Paul, as it was translated here, that particular word. It's similar to meekness. The Bible said that Moses was the meekest man. Moses was a great leader. He had strength. He led a mass of people on a 40-year trek, listening to their problems, interceding for them, leading them in battle. But yet the Bible called him meek. And so meekness is not weakness, folks. Meekness is an understanding of who you are before God. And as we understand that we are all weak vessels before God, we understand the need that we have for His encouragement, His strength, His hope, that will go beyond that, the largeness of the whole that stands before us, and help us to focus upon that donut. Help us to focus upon what He has provided for us. The sanctity that is ours, the security that is ours in Christ, that gives us power. Power comes from trust, and trust comes from experience. Our power is gained from the experiences that we have with Christ and the wisdom gained from having His Spirit alive within us. That work of the Holy Spirit is ongoing in our sanctification. And it is not just for a regenerative power to change our hearts that draws us to salvation, but it is an ongoing work to enlighten our hearts, to enable our hearts to understand what God is doing in our lives, to hear God's Word being preached, to hear it read into our souls and into our minds, to let God's Word make an impact upon us, that we will be more and more fitted to share the light and the salt that God would have us to be in this world. In our schools, in our homes, in our relationships with others. And it comes through experience. I shared this with you before. I think she's not here today for me to look at and nod. But I shared this with you before. Like in our family, other than my wife falling off a balance beam when she was a younger person, I don't remember, Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember any of us ever having any broken bones. But the Lord... But the Lord blessed the Wadfords. Lorraine has told me that, I mean, she was almost in the emergency room. You know, it was almost a continual cycle going through all of the boys if something was broken. All right, so I have a broken bone because I haven't experienced it, praise God. I look at that experience a little differently than old Lorraine over there. Oh, it's just another thing. Pack him up, haul him up, bandage him up, stick him up, and he'll be good to go in a few weeks. If you think about that illustration, not making light of it, but if you think about that illustration, as we go through the stuff of life, what we call spiritual maturity, and we encounter this stuff, and we walk through it, as God walks us through it, we gain experience. And so that experience then gives us the power to know that things will be okay. Things will be okay. If it's our first time, it's traumatic.
if it's our third or fourth or fifth time, the sharpness of that event, then becomes, not that it's not that some things can't be devastating. I want to be very careful how I say this, but the experience of going through things then sometimes takes that sharpness, that keenness, that intense fear out of what you may be going through at that time. And it all comes through that experience as we learn to trust. Power to go through life in this kind of attitude that Paul is talking about here. Not being anxious about anything, but trusting and praying and being thankful for what we have. That kind of attitude, that power to live through life with that kind of attitude comes through experience, comes through maturity of meeting those life experiences, of going through those life experiences. And being anxious about nothing, but being thankful about everything, as he says here. Stuart Briscoe said that we cultivate the capacity to trust through a life of prayer. As our capacity to trust expands, our tolerance, and this is the key part here, our tolerance for uncertainty and ambiguity grows, and our anxiety diminishes. As we learn to trust God more and more, then he says our ability to cope in the uncertainty of life increases. That's in essence what he's saying here. Now think of your own children. Your own children get afraid. They run to mama or daddy. Whatever's chasing them may scare the daylights out of you too. But that child runs to mom and daddy because that child knows and believes in her heart that daddy or mama is better able to handle this fear, whatever it is, than she is. And that's why they run to you. You may not be able to handle it either, depending upon what's chasing that child. But that child comes to you in the trust in their heart that mama or daddy is better able to handle this than I am. And that's the relationship that God wants us to have with him. The only difference is there's nothing he can't handle. We as parents find situations where it becomes increasingly difficult for us to handle because there are big holes in that donut and we're standing very close to them. And our families may sense that fear and uncertainty that we have. And it may give that sense of fear and uncertainty to our children or our loved ones within that family circle. But the relationship that we have with God is like that simple childlike faith. That's why he says, suffer the little children to come unto me because of such is the kingdom of God. I think that verse has been used in other applications not very wisely. But the point that Jesus was making to the disciples was this childlike faith is what builds the kingdom of God. Where we come to him knowing that no matter how big this fear is, no matter how big this hole is that I'm standing right next to, God is able to handle this much better than I am. And so I come to my God, my Father, who has promised me that he knows how to give good gifts to his children, that he loves us without end, and that we can trust him to do what is best for us. Now, these can be hollow words when we find ourselves in those donut holes of life. But this is how Scripture wants us to attack those donut holes. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Very well-known verse there.
1 Peter 5:10, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." The Christian life is a life of faith. A life of faith means that we can't always see something concrete there that we can put our faith and trust in. But it's the life that we've been called to live, to glorify God, to hold on to. Again, we go back to that illustration of swimming when you can't see a tree. Where are we swimming to? We're swimming toward God. And we swim in faith that He's going to give us a tree. He's going to give us a sand dune. He's going to give us the top of a building that's going to encourage us, that's going to strengthen us, that's going to comfort us, to know that our rescue is there. And sometimes, folks, those things are hard to see. I am the first to admit that. But they're there if we take the time to look for them. If we take the time to find 10 things that we can be thankful for by a plastic container that we have them running out of the gazoo in our kitchens, that we take stuff to people with, "Let me give you this back." "No, no, I don't want it. You keep it. You keep it. Yours." If a lady can find 10 things to encourage us to be thankful for by something like this, can we as God's children take the time to look for those things when we find ourselves in the midst of the holes of life, to focus on the things that we do have and not on those things that we don't have? When the scary, worry-laden holes of life leave us seeking comfort and assurance, Jesus stands ready to receive all of these worries. And so we can't cut off the relationship. We can't be so angry at Him or so put out with Him that we just don't build on the relationship, that we can't keep that relationship fresh, because it's the holes of life where we find Christ. It's in those holes of life that we find Christ. And so if in life we make this our goal, that we focus on the donut and not the hole, may I pray for you. Father, we come before you this day thanking you for the donut that you have given to us. And we pray, Father, that when we find ourselves in those holes, that we will see you, that you are there waiting for us. We are not alone. But we come to you in those holes of life. And may we be strengthened in those holes, that we can find the strength then to venture out into the goodness of life that your grace has prepared for us and enables for us. Father, may we be strengthened in the comfort of knowing that there's no place we can go spiritually, emotionally, physically, that you are not already there. May we be comforted in that and strengthened in that for this journey we call life. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.